Hi, welcome. This is the MTOM Show podcast, a production of Iowa PBS and the Market to Market TV show. I'm Paul Yeager. Glad to have you here. Thank you. We thank you for those that have subscribed or liked or shared any of our episodes. We appreciate fans like Russ and Jeff and Jim. Thank you. Couldn't do it without you, and we're glad to have you on board. This week, we are going into the field. It's time for our July 4th crop check. Knee high by the 4th of July is long in the rear view. However, Mother Nature shut down the rain faucet in a lot of the grain belt. What's that mean for corn? Well, for Chad Bell of Viola, Illinois, who we talked to in the spring, who was kind of waiting to go, who's finally in the field, we're going to find out what corn and beans look good. We'll chat about some much-needed rain that just arrived, what that means for his crop and crops. We're going to show you a different field to start that discussion. We're also going to go to Oklahoma, where Mike Schulte will check in. You've seen Mike on the Market to Market TV show. He is the head of the Oklahoma Wheat Commission. We'll talk a little bit about the state as a whole and how things have changed there since we last chatted in April. So that's what we're going to do today. Crop tour in a couple of places. Hope you enjoy. Now let's get to Chad Bell out in the field. Now, I might not know every crop. I know that's not corn behind you. What is that, Chad?
This is soft red winter wheat.
In Illinois? Upstate Illinois?
Or soft, what is this? Soft white? I don't know my wheat very well.
Why do you grow it?
I grow it for just for something to kind of, another crop to learn how to grow, I guess. And I like messing with cover crops, and so it gives me a good opportunity to try some things that I don't normally get to try after corn or soybeans, and also a spot to go with some summer hog manure if I need a place.
So when did that field go in?
This would have been, I think, right at the end of September, first week of October.
And how did it look this spring?
It looked good. It was, like I said, I've only grown wheat probably four times now, and so I don't have a lot of experience with it to know whether a wheat crop looks good or bad or average, but it seems like anything that I've grown here the last few years has looked really good early spring, and it greens up nice and early, and so it really sticks out, and it's just really nice to look at first thing. So whether that's means it's good, I don't know, but it looks good to me.
In June, we normally see crops green. We don't see them brown like they are behind you. But we were getting to a point where, well, what were we getting to with like the corn and beans behind you?
Yeah, so we were up until this past Thursday, we had basically had next to no rain since about May 13th, I believe. And corn and soybeans, corn especially, was struggling in the area. Curling up during the day and starting to get some of that grayish look to it. And even on the days where highs were only in the upper 70s or low 80s, corn was really looking tough in this area. But anytime it would rain, it'd kind of come out of it. And we had some really nice cool nights, and so that really helped. A lot of the corn wasn't stressed overnight with prolonged warm temperatures. So things look okay now. We've caught about 5 inches of rain right where I'm standing here since Thursday. So a lot of rain in a short amount of time, but most of it soaked in.
5 inches? That's ridiculous. Yeah. I guess I didn't look exactly at your dot. How many different storms did that come across in? One, two, three?
I want to say three. I was gone for the first one, which brought about a half an inch. And then the other two brought about over 4.5. And so where I live, just about 5 miles north of where I'm standing, I only had an inch and a quarter for that whole stretch. So even 5 miles, there was over 4 inches of difference in rain.
And just a overall generality, you're along I-80 in Illinois, right?
Yep. I'm south of Interstate 80 by about 30 miles, and west of Interstate 74, about 15 miles. So I'm just straight south of the Quad Cities, about 20 miles.
You mentioned that it's pretty isolated, like in the sense you could go 5 to 10 miles in either direction. Why don't you expand a little bit? Is 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? What do you think the area about 50 miles in any direction has had around you?
It's about the same. It's variable. I think from the map that I saw this morning on the local news, east of here caught a pretty good amount, maybe similar to what I had here where I'm standing. But then north and west was in the inch range. And so pretty variable in the area, but there were some pockets like what I'm standing in where, you know, a couple miles makes a huge difference.
Now, your spring, when did you finally, I think when we talked, you'd kind of dribbled a little bit out, but when did you really kind of get going and get everything in the ground?
So that last week of April, first week of May is really when we got everything else put in. I want to say that I started corn on a Thursday that last week of April, finishing the rest of it. And soybeans, I started a couple days ahead of that, maybe Monday or Tuesday of that last week of April. But we had everything. We had our soybeans finished up that I think the May 1st or whatever that Saturday was. And then by the following Saturday had all the corn in.
Do you find that some of the grain that was in earlier or middle or later has performed better or at least looked better?
Yeah, I'd say maybe the earliest planted is average at best. And then that late April, first week of May is probably the sweet spot is what it looks like right now here. And then anything after the first week of May, it starts tailing off pretty fast. I did have one field of corn that I planted on May 20th that we had spring tiling done on the field. And we were waiting on some rain to do a little bit of field work to get it ready to plant. And we got 3/10 of rain, I think, the 13th or 14th of May, which allowed us to do what we wanted to for getting the field ready to plant. And then I waited there for another rain chance that never came. So about a week later on the 20th, I planted corn. And that corn looks the toughest out of everything. It's short, a lot of potassium deficiency pretty much all the way across the field. And there's several areas where the corn didn't come up because the ground was so dry, it just didn't germ. So it looks pretty tough, and I should have stationed out in it this morning so you could see worst case scenario. But there's a lot of tough looking fields that were planted after that first week of May here, and I don't think that rain's going to turn things around for them. They might kind of slow the bleeding or stop the bleeding, but I think there's been some damage done to a lot of those fields.
We know that knee-high by the 4th of July is long since passed. But do you have anything below that around you?
My field might be in some areas. but otherwise, a lot of the corn that was put in that late April, first week of May, it's actually starting to shoot some tassels. You got to look pretty hard for them yet. But they're there. The flag leaf is out on most of that corn. And so here this week and next week, we'll probably really be going full tassel and starting pollination.
So yeah, that 2 to 5 inches, depending on what field and where it's at, that's going to get you through pollination, you think?
I think so. It's really hard to tell how far it's going to go with how dry we were. But it couldn't have come at any better time, I guess, if I would have asked for one. Now is better than later, but it's interesting. We get 5 inches of rain in one shot. It sure would have been nice to get that kind of scattered. I guess it averages out, but it sure would have been nice to average it out.
You're just asking to be average. Is that so hard, right?
I'm just asking for a perfect growing season. That's all.
when you drive around and look, I guess lawns, are they green? I mean, that's never a barometer of how a crop's doing, but.
Yeah, lawns, since about Thursday, lawns have really greened up, but prior to that, most everything was brown. So,
And when you say it was brown around, I know lawn, again, not the barometer of everything, but did you get the sense that people were starting to get pretty stressed and worried before that rain started falling?
Yeah, I think so. You know, a lot of guys that I've talked to, I just ask them, you know, what do you think about your crop or the crop in the area? And most guys that have a lot more experience than I have said, we've done some damage. We've taken the top off, but a lot of guys still say that we have good potential. Now, whether that's the top end is 200 now versus 250, where we can kind of hope for on most years, but I don't know. It's going to be one of those things where we'll have to see how pollination goes and what kind of heat or cool we get and rainfall from here forward. The grain field time moving forward is much more critical this year than what it is in what years past that we've had.
You're not really wanting to go another 6 weeks between rains. So, I mean, if you can just say three, give you something in 3 weeks.
Maybe even sooner than that. I'm guessing this 5 inches that I got right here where I'm standing, I think I had half of that rain amount on the other third of our acres. And so I hope we don't go 3 weeks, but if we go 3 weeks, we go 3 weeks. I got crop insurance, and yeah, that's kind of what it's for.
Does this rain give you... Well, I guess after Friday's report from USDA about corn, it doesn't give you much incentive to sell. But before that, were you going, well, maybe I could forward sell some stuff?
Yeah. Looking back, hindsight 2020 marketing, I should have sold some more corn. I did sell some corn, but at the time, it was kind of one of the first times that I'd ever had the thought of, well, how much corn am I going to have to be able to comfortably sell and be under my crop insurance guarantee. And so I did sell some, and I did inquire on what if I don't have the bushels to sell that I commit. And so went through all that, and I'm just glad we got some rain. Now I don't know what it's going to work out to as far as bushels saved, but looking back now with this rain, I should have sold more, but I have some sold at over $6. So I'm fortunate for that.
There you go. You have to take the victories where you can.
That's right. Yeah.
When you, I guess let's go back to the field behind you. What's next? That doesn't look like it's too far from running a machine through it.
Yep. So we'll be running a combine through this field either this week or next on the wheat. And then we'll be seeding a cover crop here after we put some hog manure on. Actually not sure on the cover crop thing yet. With forage being so short in this area with the dryness, I'm kind of waiting and seeing on a couple neighbors that might need a spot to seed some emergency forage to get their cows through till winter or even through winter. And so depends on how that all shakes out in the neighborhood. Otherwise, next thing we'll be looking at fungicide application on corn and soybeans. And then after that, I'll be getting ready for harvest here in September or October.
The cattle grazing around you, had anybody pulled off of pastures?
Yeah, there's a lot of pasture that's looking pretty poor right now. And several guys have mentioned that they're feeding some hay right now too, which is completely abnormal for this time of year. Pastures normally aren't going short till August, mm-hmm. September. And most guys are clipping their pastures off even, or baling some of them off too, which that's not happening this year. And so it's kind of scary to think about what might happen moving forward if we go back into our dry pattern in those areas that caught some rain versus some of those areas that still have really yet to catch a nice rain.
And I think we also, the last time we talked, the Mississippi, which is, you know, 30 miles from you, was pretty high up. It's already fallen back down. Are tile lines running? Are rivers, creeks, what do they look like?
Everything's still running. I haven't checked any tile recently, but the ones that I do drive by every day, they do have a trickle to them. I don't know how, but some of them are still trickling water, some aren't. So I don't quite understand how our subsoil seems as dry as it is, but yet we still have a few tiles running. I don't understand it, but apparently there's some free water floating around somewhere.
Well, let's go to the optimistic farmer outlook. How optimistic are you for the rest of 2023, Chad?
I don't know, honestly. My corn crop still looks pretty decent with the exception of the last planted field. My manure acres that have hog manure on them from last fall, they probably look the best. I have no idea what to expect. I kind of want to wait till I get through pollination and start seeing some of the early ear fill before I even throw a number out there. But optimistically, I hope I'm still over 200, but last year I averaged over 230 on our farm, and that was a record for our farm. So I don't envision being close to that, but you know, it still looks like we have potential. What that potential is, I don't really know, but soybeans, yeah. It's hard to tell until we get some August rains and grain fill and all that. They look like beans to me that could yield anywhere from 0 to 100 right now.
Well, were they kind of stunted prior to the rain? Did it look like they were just kind of waiting for some moisture?
A little bit. I did hear some comments from guys about they were just sitting still, which mine didn't seem to be. And I don't know why. They just seemed like they were getting their normal mid-late June growth started, you know, where they sit till about that time and then start growing. So in my opinion, my soybeans look about average for this time of year, really.
Well, we'll take it. So we're optimistic. We're, you know, we might not hit record, but we at this point look like a crop.
Yeah, I think so. It's unfortunate that new crop corn has definitely slid back to some prices that I'm not too impressed with right now as far as my break even and all that goes. So I guess it's kind of a wait and see right now on the market direction, and hopefully we can drum up some demand without trimming supply on the farm.
Mm-hmm. All right, Chad Bell, appreciate the update. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mike, would you call the month of June and insulting to wheat farmers when you go all that time without rain? I remember our conversation back in April where it was 100 days, 200 days, all these hundreds of days where you haven't had measurable rain. And then just as it's time to roll the combine, it rains. Is that the ultimate irony?
When we talked in April, it was a much different situation than what we are dealing with today. I think in many instances, producers are thankful for the moisture because we needed it so badly. And it allowed us probably to be able to finish this crop out and have grain fill in areas where producers were probably thinking that there wasn't going to be a crop at all. By no means does the crop, you know, as far as yield, look that great across the state. However, it is going to allow us to have something where we thought we were going to have nothing. And so I think for that, the producers have been thankful. But it has been extremely challenging trying to get this crop harvested. I think it's probably been one of the more challenging harvest seasons that I've seen in my lifetime. And just talking with other agricultural producers across the state who've maybe even been in this 40 or 50 years, that they're saying the same thing.
I remember a couple of years ago here in the Corn Belt, we had a whole lot of September, October rain, and there was this run on the track tires for the combines to roll. And then, of course, it never rained again during harvest. And the video I saw recently from your state, it's green underneath that wheat that's coming out. So I guess you have to be optimistic there.
Yeah, we are having some problems now with wheat pressure in the field. Producers, you know, trying to move as fast as they can, in some instances haven't been able to. There have been some producers have decided to just abandon fields that they thought that they were maybe even going to be able to harvest, even after they had made those management decisions back in April and May, now that the weeds have taken over. And so now they're going to end up cutting that and baling that for hay. Certainly, you know, not really great for us from a production standpoint of the Southern Plains, but it's just producers are having to weigh all options as they move forward. And it seems like every day there's a little bit of a different type of obstacle that we are facing given what we've had to deal with as far as weather just over this past year for this growing season.
Well, help me out a little bit again. I think I asked you this again in the spring. You are much – Oklahoma is predominantly winter wheat. Is there much spring?
No, yeah. We are 98% hard red winter wheat. We do have 1% soft red winter in northeastern Oklahoma, and then out in the panhandle, 1% of hard white wheat. Those are our classifications.
So what normally happens then after the winter wheat goes out here in June? Your second crop of something comes in?
Yeah, and so also the producers have also been making management decisions on areas maybe where there wasn't going to be a wheat crop, and now that we have gotten moisture in the month of May and in the beginning of June, they have been weighing options of putting summer crops out. So certainly up in northern Oklahoma, their microclimate is a little bit different than in southern Oklahoma. You'll see corn and soybeans being planted. I think that the corn looks extremely favorable in our state, which is kind of unusual for us because we do tend to end up being hot and dry later on. I think the verdict still probably will be out on that if you look at the future forecast. But things do look different from a standpoint of the summer crops that are out there right now. And even in the Panhandle region where they have had moisture, I think producers are hopeful that they're going to be able to irrigate from here on out and maybe have some opportunities with summer crops. It is really amazing what you can do if you just get a little moisture from Mother Nature in that region. And so we have gotten that. So I think producers are more positive on that end.
Do you feel that the collective spirit of the Oklahoma farmer has picked up with the rain?
Well, I think it has changed the mindset is that, what is our next move? Maybe there is hope for optimism because, I think certainly 3 months ago, things looked really, really terrible from the situation that we weren't going to have a wheat crop, which is our primary crop. And then it's really hurt the cattlemen too in the state as far as, not having the grass pastures for the cattle. They've had to liquidate herds. We have not had hay for our cattle. We've had to really look at just different management scenarios that producers have had to make decisions on that, that they typically maybe have not had to deal with in the last 8 to 10 years.
You mentioned baling some of the wheat for hay, but what about the hay fields themselves? What about the pastures? Are you seeing green in those areas now?
The pastures look much different. And I think even in South Central, Southwest Oklahoma, as of this week, again, we're getting back into warmer, hotter, drier temperatures in those regions, just as we're talking this week. So I think the verdict's going to be out in some of those areas, but, overall, things look pretty favorable for our pastures right now. Hay meadows are looking good. I know producers in my area are laying down hay today as we are talking. I think that, we're hopeful that with La Nina that things are going to still look better. But one thing that I think that we're a little bit cautious of is that we were 103 degrees or 102 degrees yesterday. We're going to be 103 today. We are cooling off some in the evenings to where we're around 75, 77 degrees. But, if we end up in a situation where we just turn off hot with extreme temperatures and dry again, then that's probably going to look different once again as well.
I'm sorry, Mike, but my experiences in your state are usually in the summer when I'm in there. It's always hot to me. Always seems to be 100 degrees. Texas has been extremely hot as well. So you're saying that some of that heat has kind of been sneaking into your state as well when you say it's 102, 103?
We've really noticed it the last few days, yes. And so, I think on that side of things, producers are hopeful. Maybe we could just get, if we could get 5 to 6 days of dry weather, it would really help us progress with wheat harvest in central and northern Oklahoma and try to get this crop behind us. I don't know if we're going to get that because it sounds like with the forecast this week that we're maybe going to cool off a little again. And we are going to be getting moisture over the weekend and the 4th of July holiday. So, but given everything that the crop has been through, we don't have high yields in the state. We're probably going to be looking at a 25 bushel average for this year. Last year, our average was 28 bushels because we also had drought conditions. So, certainly not favorable So even though we've had these challenges with moisture, one thing we do know is that our quality, even though the yields have not been high, have been extremely favorable really across the state. In southern Oklahoma, we were looking at 60 to 63 pound test weight averages. That dropped off a little here in the last week. Central Oklahoma, we're going to have some lower test weights just because we have had larger amounts of rain in that region when the crop was ready to go. But as harvest has progressed into northern Oklahoma, even with the rains that they've received this week, we're still cutting 60-pound test weight wheat and above. And so, you know, I think that that's a testament to our public wheat research programs at the university level with Oklahoma State University or Kansas State, you know, with the wheat research and breeding technologies that we have been focusing on with nitrogen efficiency traits and drought tolerance. I think it would be safe to say that if we were planting the same varieties that we planted in 1996 when I was a junior in high school, when we had a really terrible drought year that was certainly not as bad as this and we didn't have a crop, we probably wouldn't have had a crop at all this year as well. Yeah.
So the 4th of July is kind of the reason we're talking. What's the mood around the grill if you get a chance to have a break on the 4th? What is the... I already asked kind of the optimism. You said some of that has returned. We're having crop decisions that need to be made. Give me a sense of what do you think we're facing right now? What decisions do we need to make?
Well, I think there is optimism there because things do look different from having opportunities, especially even on the livestock end. I think that that's a lot different right now than it was certainly 3 and 4 months ago, where we were having to liquidate herds and we didn't have hay and we didn't have places to put our livestock. Also, you know, we have grazing grain systems in Oklahoma where we graze our wheat during the winter months. And so we didn't really have that opportunity this past year because we really didn't have much of a wheat crop from the time of planting and until we were harvesting now. So I think that given that we have had the moisture, that producers are weighing the options and they're going to look at opportunities to take advantage of some of these markets moving forward. I think certainly on the wheat side, it's a little bit of a challenge right now because we have a worldwide supply of wheat in other places and we're trying to deal with the marketing of those challenges. I think that the market is going to normalize some and we're probably going to be where we are for a while. We have just a large influx of wheat from Eastern Europe, you know, the Ukraine, Russia, Kazakhstan area. India is up on their production as well as Australia. And so I think we're going to have to, you know, work through some of that on the marketing side of things. I still keep saying, though, I think also it may just take one major world event or one happening to shut one export market down from one of these countries. And then we're going to see some possible price increases when that happens. Mm-hmm. That all depends on, you know, how our world leaders act and how we move forward with some of the challenges that we're having in Russia and the Ukraine region. But I think that there are still going to be some opportunities in this marketing year for us here in the U.S. Once we start getting through the glut of some of these other countries with their excess of wheat.
We'll do politics next time, so we'll both get in trouble.
Yes.
All right, Mike. I appreciate the time. Thank you so much, Mike.
Okay, thank you.
My thanks to both Chad and Mike for their time as we discuss the goings-on of the crops as the calendar turns to July, specifically the old knee-high by the 4th of July check-in. New episodes come out each and every Tuesday. We hope to have you there. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.